The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, for those of you who are attentive and who notice such things, you might have noticed that the priest is wearing a different color here this morning. That we have a lovely wreath here in our sanctuary and that the candles are all aglow. And this could only mean one thing, that we are once again in the season of Advent. Advent, the beginning of a brand new year on our church calendar, and a preview of upcoming attractions. Every year in our church, we read from a different gospel. Just this past year, we read from the gospel according to Luke. And this year, we're going to hear from the gospel according to Matthew. Now, understand, every gospel is unique, has something about it that's unlike all the others. And what sets Matthew apart is his insistence on Jesus as the promised fulfillment of everything that God intended to send to his people Israel. Jesus, the promised Messiah. So listen to Matthew this year with open and attentive ears, and you'll hear such phrases as, "so that the scriptures might be fulfilled," or, "this is God, how God kept his promises to his people." Jesus, the promised Messiah, emphasizes the founding of the church, the people of God, the new Israel, Jesus establishing a covenant, a new covenant with his people in his own blood. Just a preview of coming attractions, just FYI. But that's not what I want to say here this morning. This morning, I've got a gripe. I've got grievances to air. I got a bone to pick. And my gripe here on this first Sunday of Advent is that most people skip Advent and they leap right into Christmas. It's wrong, and you shouldn't do it. That's my gripe. Now, culturally speaking, it's to be understood. Culturally speaking, we begin celebrating Christmas the day after Thanksgiving, and Christmas ends on New Year's Day, but we're going to be different. Christmas starts on Christmas Eve, and it ends with the feast of the baptism of the Lord. And all the time leading up to that is the beautiful season of Advent, and it is a time that we need. There are gifts God wants to give to you. And if you don't pay attention to the season of Advent, you will miss them. So don't skip right ahead to Christmas. Imagine a parallel case. Imagine if people skipped Lent. Picture this. They skipped Lent and they leapt forward to Easter. And every year, when March rolls around, people started saying to each other, "Happy Easter, Happy Easter." We just skipped Lent entirely. Would we miss anything? Yes. Because there's something we focus on during Lent. We should focus on all year long, but we focus on especially during Lent, the need to repent. And similarly, there's something that we focus on during Advent. We should focus on it all year long, but we focus on it especially in Advent. It's a little bit mysterious and hard to explain, but it's the idea that if you don't prepare for the coming of Christ, you'll miss him. Allow me to explain. When you see something coming in life, something big, something life-changing, you use your time to prepare, don't you? For example, maybe a new baby is coming into the family and everybody knows it. You don't need me to tell you. You use your time well. You prepare for what's coming. If you're a student and you know that there's an exam coming, you better prepare. You better use your time well. Whenever you see anything life-changing, maybe you're going to move and you're going to change addresses. Maybe you're going to take a vacation and you need to reserve a couple places to stay. You use your time well if you're wise. Well, when Christ comes, most people miss him. Most people miss him. And Advent is the season in which we remember how important it is to be attentive, prepared, and watchful. For example, when Christ first came into this world in Bethlehem, how many people knew about it? Almost nobody. Magi knew about it, the shepherds in the fields knew about it. Everybody else was asleep. The scriptures tell us that we're still asleep, but we'll get to that in just a second. But they missed it because they weren't watchful. When Jesus comes again at the end of time, the book of Revelation tells us most people are going to miss it. They're going to say to the mountains, fall on us, and they're going to say to the hills, cover us. Imagine what that would be like, right? Imagine if Christ comes riding on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. Oh, let's just say later this afternoon. It would be pandemonium from coast to coast, right? I wasn't ready. Why didn't anybody tell me? They did tell you, but you weren't paying attention. Well, the season of Advent, it's the church's way of saying, pay attention. Don't miss the Lord when he comes. Now, the scriptures tell us that we're asleep. St. Paul said it in the second reading. Stay awake, right? Now's the time to rise from sleep. Jesus says it here in the gospel. You know, most people are asleep. Don't be one of them. Stay awake, be attentive. Are we asleep? Do we miss the coming of the Lord? Let me ask you, what do you think? In a few minutes, we're going to give out the host. We're going to give out the Eucharist. That little white host is actually him. How attentive are you to that? That just isn't measured in, you know, how deeply you bow and how piously you make a sign of the cross. You want to measure how attentive you are to receiving the Lord in the Eucharist. Ask yourself this. How different are you when you walk out those doors? How do you treat each other? How do you behave in the parking lot? Has it been something that has changed your day, much less changed your life? Are we asleep? Do we miss the Lord? Let me ask you. Jesus once told us that he's mysteriously present in the soul of your neighbor, especially the ones you do not like. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you do it to me, says the Lord. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Are you attentive to that? Or are you asleep? One of my favorite quotations comes from Blessed Dorothy Day. She said, I love God only as much as I love the person in this world who I like the least. And the way I treat them is the way I treat him. So are we asleep? Are we attentive? Do we have something to work on this Advent? You tell me. What would it look like if we were to make a great Advent? What would it look like to live prepared for the coming of the Lord? Two things. Number one, a prayerful awareness of God's voice in your life. And number two, the humility to respond to that voice. If you're looking for an example of who lived that, take a look at the Blessed Mother, our Advent companion. Blessed Mother lived the very, very first Advent. And when she heard the voice of the Lord speaking to the angel Gabriel, she's in the middle of sweeping the floor. She drops what she's doing, changes her whole life on a dime, and says, let it be done unto me according to your word. That's the way we want to live. Advent is the season in which we get ready for it. You want to get ready for it? One of the best bits of spiritual advice to help us get ready for it came from our first reading book of the prophet Isaiah. You can hear a lot of Isaiah in the season of Advent. Isaiah, sometimes they call him the fifth gospel, because more than any other prophet, he tells us about what the coming Messiah is going to be like. And Isaiah says, the mountain of the Lord's house needs to be established as the highest mountain. Now, whether you know it or not, in your life, right now, right where you are, right where you sit, you have a highest mountain, spiritually speaking, figuratively speaking. There's something in your life that is a higher priority than everything else in your life. What is it? Pray about it. What is it that gets you up out of bed in the morning? What is it that you think about throughout the course of the day? What is it that motivates you? Whatever it is, by definition, it's what you worship. Worship is just an amalgamation of the two words, worth and ship. Whatever comes first in your life is what you worship. We want to make that God and not something less, or else we're idolaters, honestly. So what is it to you? And for some people, it's a relationship, right? Something they think about all day long. Now, don't misunderstand. Relationships are important. We need to work on them. But are you so focused on God's gifts that you've forgotten about the giver? For some people, it's their health, one fashion or another. Now, don't get me wrong, health is important, but are you so focused on God's gifts that you've forgotten about the giver? For some people, it's their financial security. For some people, it's their status in someone else's eyes. For some people, it's just always finding the easiest way out of every problem. Everybody has a highest mountain. And until the Lord's mountain is the highest mountain in your life, you're going to have conflict. You will not be satisfied with anything this world has to offer. You'll be in conflict with others. Most of our conflicts of life come from two egos butting heads, neither of whom is trying to make the Lord's mountain the highest mountain in their life. You're going to be in conflict with yourself. You weren't made to worship something less than God. But when the Lord's mountain is the highest mountain, you're at peace. That's what Isaiah meant when he said, they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. That happens when God comes first. There's a spiritual lesson in Advent. We focus on it especially during this season, but it's true all year long. And that whatever it is you're searching for in this life, you haven't found it yet. You're still looking. One thing I love to do, I love to notice people's car bumper stickers. A fascinating little cross-section of human psychology. You got 30 square inches of space to send a message to the entire world, right? Something you want the whole world to see, what do you use your space to see? What do you say? Fascinating little cross-section of human psychology. But one of the things I notice more than anything else are vacation bumper stickers. I'd rather be in Hawaii, my heart's in Puerto Rico, whatever the case may be. And it's a message that I'm sending this to the entire world is that one thing's for sure, I'd rather be somewhere than behind the wheel of this car right now, right? I wish I was somewhere else. What does that say about us? What does that say about us? That says that we are dissatisfied with where we are and what we're doing. In Advent, we stop to recognize that whether you know it or not, the one your heart is seeking, the one who will bring you peace, the one who will bring you rest, is Christ. Use your time well to prepare for the one who is trying to get in to the door of your heart. Use your time well. Don't waste it. I knew a man once, very tragic. His fiancée died before they could get married. Aggressive cancer. He was 30, she was 29. And before they could get married, she died. And he talked to me. And he says, I've got two sources of grief. Number one, of course, that she's gone. But number two, my grief is that I wasted so much time that I could have used better. And you want to know what? The second grief hurts more than the first does. There's no grief in heaven. But if there was, they would grieve that they hadn't loved God even more than they did while they were alive on this earth. There's no envy in heaven. But if there were, they'd envy you and me. Because all they can do in heaven is praise God and thank God for what he's done. But you and I, we can still love him and serve him. Advent is the season in which we are aware of what we've got to make the most of it while we can. Advent, like life, is a limited time offer. Prayerfully make the most of it. And there's no better place in all the world to begin to do that than right here. And there's no better time than right now.